Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Sunday, May 31st, 2020. Thank you for joining me today. I apologize that I didn't get to a show yesterday. I have to admit, there was a lot going on, but I'm quite disconcerted about all of this right now for a million different reasons. Not least of which is because I'm frankly just really disappointed in everybody. Everyone out there who is just completely feeding the fires of all this stuff. I mean, we should, before we get into everything today, because we're going to start off talking about all of the, you know, all the big discussion right now in regard to George Floyd and the clear police state rolling out and the fact that there is in fact a lot of looting taking place around all of it. And guess what? Big surprise. There's truth on all sides of this conversation. What do you know? Exactly what you find out when you are able to pull yourself out of the crazy partisanship in this country. There's a lot going on today, and we'll go over a lot of it today. But the reality is, guys, to talk about this, we're going to talk about that as well as a lot more going on. Coronavirus, some really horrifying new things that are being completely overshadowed, as well as some foreign policy today. But we need to realize that there's nuance to this stuff. In every single thing we get into, there's always nuance. It's never black or white. It's never completely polarized. It's never left or right. It is always more nuanced than that. And when today's conversation to suggest that something's being, even in the title, this is a race war being created by the mainstream media, people will lose their minds about that. Does that suggest? That suggests that they are using what's happening, that they are creating something that's not completely there. Does that mean that racism doesn't exist? No. Does that mean that this cop shouldn't be arrested and charged for murder? No. Does that mean that, I mean, it's crazy that we get in these positions where people will attack you because you don't think exactly what they think you should think. I mean, how is that the illusion of some kind of democratic representative process? It's crazy. It is schizophrenic. We're at a point now where we're being socially engineered to such a degree that people are losing their minds, like in a logical sense. It's irrational. So as we go through all of this stuff, we need to realize that there is an actual problem here. The fact that this cop can lean on this person's neck and let them die in the street needs to be discussed. It needs to be held accountable. It needs to stop. Now, that would apply to whoever was in that position. But can we obviously acknowledge that there's a clear problem with this specific type of situation? Yes, we all see that. Racism does exist in this country. It's not taboo to say that. It's also not taboo to suggest that not everything is involved in racism, that some things happen outside of it, independent of it, or in part of, but not completely, entirely about it. The reality today is that people will tell me I'm not allowed to talk about that because I'm not. Well, I'm a white boy. In fact, I'm actually Puerto Rican. But who cares what they think? Because what I am to them is not allowed to talk about this topic. Well, I don't care what they think. I'm going to talk about what I think you need to know about. So we're going to go through this whole topic today. And I'm going to show you, in my opinion, why I think what's happening right now is artificial. Again, not that there's not racism or not that that situation is false entirely, as much as I see that being talked about today. But the fact that it is horrible and should be dealt with, but then it's being used to create something that is meant to cover up the real situation, which is about all of us being attacked by them, not each other, not left versus right, not a race war, black versus white, and how, and you know, and that those things exist. But they're using this, they're using your emotions, and they're using all of the things that get you emotionally outraged so you don't think clearly to attack you against your neighbor, to make you fight against the person who is on your side at the end of the day. The 99% versus the one, to use the wildly overused analogy that's now no longer even actually correct. It's 0.01% to, you know, you get the point. That's the battle happening right now. And coronavirus, in my opinion, the whole thing that was happening with that was their attempt to seize it because we're seeing what's going on. And it didn't work, guys. It didn't work. So let's go through this today. I'm going to show you what I'm seeing. And hopefully you're smart enough to not just blindly take what I'm saying, but think for yourself. To look at what I'm saying and go, well, Ryan, you know what? I like what you're saying, but I disagree with your logic. I love it. That's what you're here for. To think for yourself. Not be swayed by some fancy, aggressive, partisan speak, which is everywhere. But realize, guys, this was failing. Less than half of Americans planned to get the vaccine that they told us was absolutely necessary. And we just talked about, as we'll mention a little bit more in the, further in the show, the CDC admits COVID-19 antibody tests are wrong half the time, and virus isn't that deadly. At the very least, it's about in line with the flu. These are their numbers. But yet, they're still completely content with telling you that the new normal is what we have to accept, and that you have to do everything you're told, including, you know, being told to... I'm not going to jump the shark. Realize there's a lot that we're going to talk about today that is not just tied to the situation taking place today in regard to George Floyd. This all is mixed together. That's my take. But this was failing. Their agenda was failing. They were not getting what they wanted from it. People were not buying it. So we see this. Great headline, which I happen to completely agree with. As Minnesota burns, and as well as apparently 29 other states right now, media fans flames of race war, and everybody forgets about COVID-19. Now realize people weren't forgetting, oh, we're forgetting about this horrible thing that's happened. No, we're forgetting that we weren't buying it. We're forgetting that we were lied to. We're forgetting that all of this was used to remove what your life was before this started. All of it. That's what we're forgetting. Everyone's forgetting that we just witnessed one of the largest hoaxes in the history of humanity. Now, again, that doesn't necessarily imply that there was nothing there. That doesn't imply that there's not a COVID-19. That's still up for debate, in my opinion. The reality is it was used to do all of this. And in my opinion, it was very clearly. I'll just put that to bed. The data shows from their own sources, it was not what they told us it was. So this is what you're forgetting. This is what we're missing right now. And in my opinion, guys, to start off with the main point of the whole thing today, this is a class war. This is a class war being manipulated and deceptively framed by the mainstream media as a race war in order to emotionally manipulate you into missing what's really going on. Don't be fooled, guys. It is us versus them. One versus 99%, not black versus white or left versus right. What I think, guys, this is Yellow Vest Worldwide Edition. People are fed up. And it's happening all over the world, guys. It's not just here. Now, we can listen to the mainstream media, you know, Hong Kong and what it's really about and how we need to take sides. And that's what they want. They want partisanship, even in regard to foreign affairs. They want you to pick a side in regard to Hong Kong and say, no, I agree with Trump and I agree with this side and I agree with that. No, this is people around the world being fed up with the caste structure that we live in today, where we're essentially peons and they're the rulers. But they want you to think that it's not. They want you to think this is a race war. It's about us. And we need to pick a side. Because if we don't, they're going to win. Or the other side's going to win. The blacks are going to win. The whites are going to win. That's how they want you thinking. That's what they want you thinking right now. As much as they pretend like... Yeah, and realize, guys, one side's outraged about the other, right? Then the other sides are outraged about that side. So each stride of the mainstream media, Fox News, CNN, points to the other side and said it's all them. It's all Antifa. It's all white supremacists, right? There is no end to the ridiculous hyperbole taking place right now, whether or media saying it's all Russia or it's all China or it's all anything. It's all mostly none of those things. It's all them. It is all them using you and your emotions to stop you from seeing the reality and what's really taking place. As Patrick Henningsen says, this shouldn't be a straight up color issue. Both left and right are trying to spin it along color partisan lines. Rather, it's a universal issue. Now, here's the point. Problem is, someone's going to say, oh, white Patrick Henningsen, you don't have a right to say it because you don't know any. And you know what? There's some logic to saying that somebody who is white may not fully grasp what someone who is a minority may have been through in their life. Of course, forgetting for a moment that a lot of us may not be the minority they think we should be, but are still minorities. But the point is, they pretend like he doesn't have a right to say this just because of that, which is ridiculous. You could argue that you have a better perception of what really that entails, but you cannot argue that someone's not allowed to speak on something because you feel you have a better perception of what that thing is. That's crazy. And here's the point he makes. This is a runaway fascist police state and is out of control. That's what they're trying to hide behind a race war. This is the same thing they're pushing in under coronavirus, which we'll show you more in a moment, that is now just being used again, ubiquitously under whatever else is happening. Terrorism, mass shootings, now riots, racist, protesters, however you want to look at it. They're using it to stop that. And of course, as always, from partisan lines. But this video is of a white guy being kneeled on and attacked by police who laugh and make jokes about how he must just be sleeping. Ha ha ha. He died that day, suffocated by the cops. Please excuse any cursing you may hear. I don't have to keep going, guys. I mean, it's just despicable. The reason he suffocated was because of the way they handled the situation and forced him on the ground, and he suffocated against the ground. He died. That's the reality of the situation. This person was suffocated to death on the ground by these police officers as they joked about how his first day of school, wake up. Right? You can talk about statistics all day long. I can show you statistics that would show you an image that appear that there is more violence versus, you know, in different categories versus what other people would say. Let's just leave it like that. There's no point in diving further into the divide they want us to take part in. The reality is it happens, guys, and that shouldn't be okay with anybody. Black, white, it doesn't matter. And see, even that sentence right there, people would pick at and say that, oh, you this is the point, is I'm not trying to argue at the end of the day that there is one more than the other. The reality is that people of all creeds, religions, races, anything should be able to cross these imaginary lines and realize who's actually doing the killing, guys. Not that person that lives across the street from you who just happens to be on one party, but the person who actually kneeled on this person's neck and made them suffocate on the ground. And then the people behind them who are allowing that to go, whether we're talking Obama, Bush, Trump, or anybody, the people behind it, the real people, the real culprits allowing the situation to go forward while turning around and stoking this kind of race war to stop us from realizing what's really happening. The National Guard's being called in apparently 11 different states to handle this right now. As I said, 30 different states, apparently, this is happening while we pretend like it's all the other people, right? It's all in Iran. It's all in Venezuela. It's all in Bolivia. It's all in Syria. It's all those places as this country burns to the ground right now in 30 different states because of what's going on, because of their hype, because of their manipulation, because of their status quo, because of what they have allowed to continue. And that encompasses everything we're talking about. That encompasses the police state. That encompasses what happened to George Floyd. That encompasses what happens around everything we're talking about. They have allowed this status quo, not your neighbor, not the Republicans, not the Democrats, the government. That's the problem. And the two-party illusion that stops you from seeing the full picture. Now, police are being ordered to essentially stand down in some cases, allowing the chaos to continue. Now, you can argue that's to keep them safe, or you could argue that there's some level of this they want to happen, that they want to create this chaos so that they can then turn around and point to it as their justification for the police state, for what's about to happen, which I promise you is about to happen. There's many cases where they're seemingly allowing this to take place. Now, the military is on alert, but apparently not yet sent in, and Trump is now apparently saying it might not happen, but we're basically seeing the military on... The military has been deployed in this country domestically already, in a lot of different ways. So let's not pretend like that line hasn't been crossed. But they're now quibbling about it as if it's might not going to happen, but I believe it's already happening. They're monitoring protests in 7 states, as I understand, specific protests in regard to, you know, maybe what they might have to do, which shows you that there's something about to happen there. I mean, what I need us all to think about, guys, is I keep saying, remember, we are under U.S. sanctions right now as Americans. That's what's happening. Whether you're talking about coronavirus, everything, they are creating chaos to make us react in a way that is against our own interests, sort of how they have constantly done to the Iranian people or the Venezuelan people or the Syrian people and on and on and on. They create a situation that causes chaos, that causes you to irrationally react to the point to where you don't care what the end result is. You just want the situation to stop. So now we're creating chaos to where most people are looking at what's going on and the media hype around it and saying, oh, we need the military. They need to come in and stop this because this is out of control. It's anarchy, right? Even though none of them fundamentally understand what the word anarchy means, because that's not what that means. That's chaos. anarchy is exactly what they don't want you to understand. It means no rulers, not no rules. And the reason they don't want you to know that is because anarchy is the one ideology they cannot bear because it's one where they don't exist. Funny how that works, right? Anarchy has constantly been muddled with the idea of chaos. It's not the same thing. But this is what they're trying to push, as always, the illusion to make you think something's going on. And again, the real point, and suddenly few are talking about the one of the largest hoaxes in history. But don't worry, guys. Keep watching race war theater and taking their bait, because soon enough, they will have mandatory vaccines and tracing bracelets for your protection, because we all got distracted, many of which things we'll talk about today. Now, funny enough, one person basically lost their mind about this comment right here. And this is the problem, guys. As I very clearly explained to begin, the person assumed, right? But which makes him a hypocrite while he's pointing out about how we're all assuming things about the, you know, black and white and whatever else. He assumed what I meant in saying that, right? The point is, am I suggesting that race doesn't exist? Am I suggesting that there's not racism, that there's not stuff going on between black and white people? No, what I'm suggesting is that they're creating race war theater based on what's actually happening. But you see, that nuance is lost on the people like that, the people that only want this to be black and white because they're part of that delusion. But here's the thing. Here's an individual pointing out exactly what we're talking about, exactly why I was making my point about the theater. But see, he probably didn't even take a moment to look at the video, just couldn't abide the comment from somebody like that. This is somebody pointing out that there is a stack of bricks far too large to be just brought in by a bunch of protesters, set out right outside the judicial building. I believe it was either a courthouse or judicial building. Now, you may think this is fake, and it could be, but bear with me. I'll show you why, in my opinion, this is very clearly a setup. But here's what he's saying. Listen to him.
This right here?
Yeah.
They put them there
on purpose. This the setup.
They put them there on purpose.
Y'all know where we at.
They gonna set them on right up on the rail.
Y'all know what building this is right here. I ain't even gonna say what name it is.
Hey, where do them bricks go to? Where do them bricks go to?
This is setup.
Where do them bricks go to?
We gotta do better.
Ain't no damn construction.
Gotta do better.
Ain't no damn construction.
No construction. Nothing going on. Right? So, of course, maybe they lied. Maybe it was there. Maybe it was happening beforehand. Maybe there's any number of things that could explain it. But right off the bat, realize that if they're going to leave a big pile of bricks right outside of a glass building right before they knew this was going to happen, what do you think they think is going to happen? Maybe, just maybe, that's why they tend to leave police cars unattended in the middle of a zone where a protest is happening, so they can have somebody light it on fire and make a big idea about it and point to it and make it about, oh, look at what we need to stop. This is all organized. Same as with the agent provocateurs, which we'll get into, which are everywhere throughout this. In fact, started the whole damn thing. But this is just one example, which could always be faked, right? But guess what? There's more of them in totally different places around the country. Look at this.
Bruh, they got them bricks, bro. They are protesting. Shit crazy.
Now look, I can admit in this one specifically, we're talking right next to it as seemingly a brick thing, right? So you could, but even though these are gray, not the same, I mean, on and on and on. The point is, guys, there's something happening here. Look at the similarity between these two things. Look at the bricks with the cones and the whole thing, the same color. There's something funny going on. Now, that's just one example. And you could be like, okay, maybe that's just a coincidence. And you know what? It could be. It always could be. But how many things will you continue to just, could be this, could be that, while the reality seems to be staring us right in the face? The fact that there has always been these things that have happened. They've always created these, used agent provocateurs, allowed the situation to go out of hand in very controlled ways so that they can point to it and use it. So they can say, we want to make protests illegal, or say, we want to make you register so before you can protest, or no masks, or no this, or no that, or you can't carry your guns even if you're allowed to. This is the reality. They are being deceived. And I just wanted to throw this in there just because it was a very perfectly timed tweet by Garland Nixon to make you remember, hey, guess what? These people are disgusting, festering hypocrites. As Trump's calling them all looters, which, by the way, many of them were. Let's not pretend that's not happening. Regardless of what you think the justification is, it still happened. White and black. And that's the problem, is one side said, it's only Antifa and it's all organized. The other side said, there is obviously all of it. There are just average people who just see what's going on and decide to step in and take part. That always, always happens. Where it began is what matters. But here Garland says, damn looter. Oh, that's right, because Donald Trump is in Syria looting their oil right now, right? But it's all funny how that only applies to the people that they deem the bad guys, right? It doesn't apply to the good guy team as they literally rob them of their everything that they need right now. And then burn their wheat fields and so on, you know, but that's good guy stuff, right? It's all okay. But if you do anything such as protest outside the White House, well, then that's organized an attack and you guys are looters and you need to be shot, right? Which is not exactly what he said. I'm just playing the hyperbole game here. The point is, it's disgusting to be staring at people that are doing these things and then trying to use morals and act righteous about what they're doing in the same light. But here's the Ron Paul Institute of all people, which I don't know, care what you think about Ron Paul. This is a reputable site that is very good at what they do. They're very, very accurate and they're very meticulous about their data, about their facts. Both him and Daniel are constantly on the ball. Again, whether or not you agree with their politics or not, they're good at what they do. Protesters, rioters, looters, and revolutionaries, be aware, there are government agents among you. And for those that always laugh this off, you are so incredibly lost if you don't realize that this is happening. There have been verifiable incidents over and over and over. And not only that, their own documentation talks about this. This is something, this is a common practice, where they send in police officers, and the argument is, of course, we need to find out what's going on. And, you know, as always, it's for your protection. And then they break windows and leave bricks and create things, and then they point to you as the problem, right? That's what it really is about. This fake righteousness, this unjustified morality that we place on these people is not usually there. That's just simple history. But you can see them. These are all police officers wearing the same markings. And they go over extensively in this. Here's another person that goes into a lot more. You can see them everywhere. And first of all, guys, these are obviously police officers with their badges, with their body cams, and all across the board, you see these little white wrappings. Now, some of them you can't see as much because they're on the wrist. But realize, guys, this is something. These are police officers, all on the same day, all wearing the same thing, trying so they can identify each other. They are there to create chaos. Just like Caitlin Johnstone pointed out, nothing is certain but death, taxes, and police infiltration of U.S. protests. This has been very clearly shown, guys. This guy, with his casual phone and his, you know, all black and umbrella, who just slowly walked up and started breaking windows. You know, just no big deal. This guy has been outed. And by the way, these people that are walking up to him, there's other videos that I've shown recently where they say, you're a cop. We know you're a cop. They follow him all the way to his car. There's already videos that have been deleted, by the way, showing people who were cops. This is from an update where the person's wife, the wife of Officer Jacob Pedersen, lovely last name, of the St. Paul Police Department, was the culprit responsible for kickstarting the riot. And this guy was pointed out before they knew he was a cop. This was a guy who was kind of associated with the one who started all of the violence, breaking the windows, kind of kicked off what started. He was captured on camera and identified by his ex-wife. Here are the screenshots from his ex-wife confirming this is him. And I've seen these myself. Now, again, you could argue it's fake, lies, manipulations. It's always possible. But we need to realize how clearly this is happening. Now, I feel like I jumped. I might have missed one. I think I remember it was right here. There was one that I wanted to show you. It might have been on one of my tweets. Oh, well, the point was there was another video that I had that already got removed. And I saw it myself and I shared it. And all it was a person walking up to somebody they thought was a cop. And they said, you're a cop. Like, I just saw you get out of a cop car. And the guy's like, no, I'm with CNN. Super suspicious. All in black, right? He walks away all in black. The guy walks back to the cop car, like an unmarked black cop car. And it's very clear. Two obvious cop people sitting in the front seat, 40, 50-year-olds, white males sitting there just, you know, casually. He walks up and asks them, what are you doing here? And they go, oh, no, we're just hanging out. And he asks them about being cops, and it's very clear the confrontation. They just roll their windows up and sit there. This person was caught. The bottom line was they just deleted the video. I wonder why that was allowed to be deleted if all it was a person filming people on the street. Probably because they got caught. This is being orchestrated, guys. They are creating violence to distract you as well as to use it to continue to push in their goals. Now think about this. Remember all this discussion about police cars ramming people and how dare these protesters be using their cars to ram people? We have examples of when the Venezuelan people, oh wait, I forgot. That was when Guaido's forces stole a Venezuelan car and then ran over protesters to try to blame Maduro. Guess who was behind that? The US government. Well, guess what? Here is New York police officers doing the same thing. Here's them using police cars to run over protesters. Right? I mean, let's realize, guys, this hypocrisy. Look, I know they're throwing things. It doesn't change the fact this guy's a police officer bound by the Constitution and the law. Watch what they both do. One goes forward, the other one goes forward, runs over people. I mean, this is out of control. They have lost the plot, guys. They have pulled the mask off. We are at a point now where, and you just wait, it's not, and this is not even close to the worst of what we're getting at. And the point being, all the stuff we're going to get into, right, here, the so many more we're going to get into before we get into coronavirus, it's all stuff that, in my opinion, is pulling your attention away from what's really going on. This is all crazy chaos that's being manufactured. Now, again, that doesn't mean that there's not stump, the actions within it that they used are not, it doesn't mean they're fake, right? Again, I don't need to keep saying this, but the reality is what happened with Floyd was disgusting. And apparently this cop is going to go to prison. I mean, that's good. He should be. But that doesn't end the situation because this has constantly been happening. And again, I just showed you one with a white person as well. The point is, it's happening. These police are treating all of us, black, white, Asian, Chinese, it doesn't matter. All of us. Treating us as if we are expendable, as we are just people. The moment that they have something that matters, that we just have to stand back and let them do what they do, even as it walks all over our constitutional rights. I mean, are we going to, the next time something happens overseas where they make a big stink about it, these are the kind of things that we need to remember, that they're hypocrites. And here is Raul Diego saying he almost got shot yesterday covering a protest in Austin. They were shooting at them from high points on the freeway. Here, this is Sam saying the same thing. U.S. police targeting journalists could be related to Israeli training. Now, that's an assumption, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you that I completely agree with his logic because that's exactly what they'll do in the West Bank and Gaza and basically just shoot not only Gaza journalists, but all kinds of journalists. Journalists from Canada, journalists from the Middle East, journalists from the EU, journalists everywhere. I've shown you on my show over and over and over, and we know that U.S. police in a lot of different states are trained in Israel. Boston Globe reporter shot in the West Bank. Now, this is just examples of the things that they're teaching. Palestinian journalists protest against wounding of their colleague, right? Marked press shot. I mean, these are all things that are happening in Israel. The reality is that it's happening, they're claiming, both Sam and... Of course, it's almost like they don't want me seeing the tweet that I just had up. And Raul Diego. They're claiming they were being shot at by police. And you know what, guys? I believe it. Doesn't mean we can prove it, but I believe it. You know why? Because we're seeing it happen everywhere. Check this one out. Emma just shared from The Mind Unleashed. Vice correspondent. Now, remember... There's plenty of examples of CNN and other people too. I'm not saying that this for all I know could be completely staged in order to make it seem like people like Vice and CNN and what I would call the mainstream media are definitely part of this when in my opinion, they're the ones stoking the problem. But it doesn't change the fact that it appears to be happening, that police are attacking both independent and mainstream alike. Pepper spraying them, throwing them to the ground, doesn't matter who you are at this point. They have the mandate, apparently, if anybody needs to be thrown down, including people standing outside their own homes. We'll get to that in a moment. Again, guys, just a disclaimer. There's a lot of stuff in here today where you might hear some distant cursing, maybe more pronounced. I've tried to do the best I could today, but just heads up. Usually a family-friendly show, but there's a lot going on here today. Yelling press over and over. Press! Press! So right there, he's saying press, 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 okay? That's very obvious. The cop hears him. The cop actually hears him and then notices him because he hears him, and it doesn't matter. The point is, there's probably a two-pronged thing happening here. I bet you there's a lot of people saying their press who aren't, which they're just tired of, but that doesn't matter. And secondly, the guy, and within that first point, the guy is clearly marked as press. He's got a press badge. It's obvious. So whether he believes it or not, it's not his prerogative. That's not what he doesn't get to make that choice, right? The guy is there as press. And it doesn't matter if you're part of CNN or Fox News or you just started a new press outfit out of your garage yesterday. If you're press, you're press. The Supreme Court has ruled on that routinely. They don't abide by it. They constantly kick people out of hearings and whatever else, but that is still the constitutional ruling. But the problem is this guy comes over to him and then knowing he's press, treats him the same way. Tells him to get to the ground, tells him he has to. But this is the crazy part is their mandate is anybody. They're over it. The police state is appearing. It is revealing itself in front of you right now. As they criticize everybody else for their press, their lack of press freedom, for the way that they treat, and the points that even Caitlin Johnstone and many others make. This is exactly what they will accuse other foreign countries of because they're so undemocratic. Never happens in this country, they would tell us.
I'm press.
I don't care. Get down, he says.
Okay, I'm down.
Please those words should go down in infamy, guys. I'm press. I don't care. Get down. Do what I'm telling you because you don't live in a democracy or you don't live in a real free country. Let's not pretend that democracy is what we're told it is. That's mob rule, guys. Let's be honest. The governments are what the issue is today. The governments are what the issue is. That's an interesting sentence. Let's keep watching. Press pass right in his hand.
I am press. Please.
That's what's called punishment. That's what's called, we don't care your press, stops talking. Right? That is an attack. That's not justified. The cop doesn't have the legal authority to do that. They don't care, guys. That's the point. They don't care. It's the equivalent of tasing somebody. But you don't get to just do that because someone's talking and you don't want them to talk. But this is rampant. Now, one point that I actually left out today because I'm trying not to get involved with the partisanship is the reality that right now, and there is a justification for holding the president accountable, whoever that is. Because right now, you can show clear examples of the actions that have been taken. And again, if this was Obama that happened, it was Obama to some degree in a lot of ways too. But create the situation that allow this to be the case. You can there's examples of the leader in the Minnesota Police Department speaking at one of Trump's rallies and saying thank you for removing the restrictions. Right? I mean, the point is that there is responsibility for whoever is the leader, and any actual leader will be responsible, whether or not it was their decision, because that's what real leaders do. So let's not pretend like this is not something that ties back to current government situations. But at the end of the day, this has been going on for a long time. They don't care this person is press. They don't care your press. They don't care about your rights. And you know what? If you keep, frustratingly telling them you have rights, they'll just spray you in the face. That is the new normal that we're finding ourselves in. And as Caitlin Johnstone says, many U.S. journalists arrested after New York Times falsely claims that doesn't happen in America. It is common in autocratic countries for journalists to be swept up in arrests during protests and riots, but rare in the United States where news gathered is protected by the First Amendment. Pretty words, right? And they're supposed to be the case. But they know that's not true. That's why you need to realize that groups like New York Times and Washington Post and CNN and Fox News, these are not journalists, guys. This is theater. This is news theater. That's what they're doing. They have a very clear job, whether they know it or not. Just like Noam Chomsky and different people will tell you that they wouldn't be put in that position if they didn't already hold very specific beliefs. They usually don't even realize that they're being controlled. It's manufactured. I mean, I don't know why that's so hard for some people to understand, but I know most of you here think that's very clear. But they're arresting people. Now, I'm not, just because it's mainstream media, I am suspicious that this is being orchestrated in a way to create the illusion that the media is being oppressed. by the government. I think they're all on the same side in this. But again, that doesn't mean that individuals within that aren't being allowed to be oppressed. Maybe they don't realize it. Maybe the guy from Vice had no idea that was going to happen, but somebody up top said, yeah, let him be the one. Right? I mean, we have to think like this, guys. This is how these things work. And usually, even people on their side can be thrown under the bus at a moment's notice when it suits their agenda. We've seen that over and over and over. This one, guys, this one really, really should shake you. What's the right word for this? This is the culmination, and that doesn't mean that might even be incorrect because it's. I feel like it's only going to get worse. But this is where it's all led. This is what is happening right now, and it was happening under COVID-19. Now it's the same thing apparently. But guess what? It's because of something else. Big surprise. Just like it was about something else a couple years ago, something else before that, and then the narrative changes, but the actions remain the same. Now I'm not even going to preface this. Just watch what happens, and we'll talk about it. They got shot, guys. I think they were rubber bullets, but it doesn't change the fact these are individuals. Family. I believe I saw children in the video. They're standing on their front porch, guys. It's front porch of their home on an empty street. And just because they've been told that because of whatever's going on, regardless of who's involved and how it's being pressed and stoked and manufactured, that they're telling these people on their own property that they have to go back inside their own home while nothing's happening, while they're not breaking any laws. On their street. It's empty. The street's empty. And they think they have the right to not only tell you to go back inside your home, not just on, no, the front porch isn't good enough. You have to go in your own door and close the door. They will fire at you and shoot smoke bombs into your house. Guys, this is unreal. This is so far outside the reality of what we think we live in. This illusion of some kind. All it takes is for a little bit of chaos, or a lot of chaos. It doesn't matter for them to just suddenly say, "Oh well, your rights just don't matter because what we want to happen is more important." You start to see the pattern here that suddenly these caveats to your constitution just pop up every time there's a little bit of an issue or a big issue. It doesn't change. It doesn't change the situation that when they so choose, your constitutional rights are like a light switch. They just go, oops, well, suddenly we're in danger or we're angry or we're trying to shut this down or we don't like what you're saying. Oh, suddenly light switch. Your constitutional rights don't matter anymore. That is not how this works, guys. That is not how this operates. What we're seeing is a rogue government that is not caring about the thing that they swore an oath to, the thing, the foundational concept of this country that they pretend is so important when they want to, but then pretend it's archaic when the other times when it doesn't suit their interests. Just think about how crazy this is.
Get inside! Get in your house now! Let's go!
Right, so these people are walking down your street. You're not breaking any laws. Please tell me what the justification is here. Why do they think they have the right to force you back inside your home? Right? Even on a curfew, guys, it doesn't change that you're at your home. You're not wandering the streets. Are you telling me on a curfew I can't go sit on my front porch? This is about control. This is about making sure that they know who's in control. And you're not allowed to say no. He told you to go inside, and because you didn't, well, all of a sudden, things need to change. Respect their authority, right? To the point to where they, you mean that guy couldn't have walked up and said, guys, there's a curfew, you're in danger, go inside. Even then, you still don't have to listen, right? But it doesn't change the fact that all they thought was, and the guy said, light him up. Imagine if that rubber bullet hit them in the eye. That can kill somebody. I see the Israeli government training coming out all over the place. Funny how we're suddenly becoming the same thing, don't you think? just because, and I'm going to talk about this at the end, but, you know, because no one cares that another Israeli child was shot in the middle of the street in Israel, or, you know, that they're tearing down more homes in Palestine. But who cares about all that, right? Because we're so outraged about our thing, right? This thing, this horrific situation that's been going on for decades that people don't, right? Who cares, right? Who cares about these people? It only matters when we want it to matter. Light them up. Tell those free citizens over there what's really going on. Light them up. God, I mean, I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted. Like, I'm really physically upset about what that is. I just can't get past it. If you can't see what just happened there and realize where we are right now, then you're lost. Doesn't mean I'm going to stop fighting to wake you up. That's what I do here. My whole point is to reach those people that are lost. But I got to tell you, if you can't see what that shows you, if you're someone standing there going, well, they should have listened. They should have run back and should have fled inside their home like the parasites that they are. I mean, it's like, how can you possibly see it like that? How do you live in this country and pretend to believe in things that represent this country and yet then point to that and say, yes, do your job? I'm taken aback. I don't understand how people can be in this position and then realize how it all comes full circle, guys. That as this is all being used, something real, something horrible, something that should be held accountable is nonetheless being used because they know that it makes people emotionally upset. It's coming full circle. To, I guess, complete what they were failing to do using COVID-19. Because guess what? As Whitney Webb just tweeted out, this tweet is for all the people who said contact tracing was just for the virus, right? Isn't that what we heard? Oh, it's only for the virus, guys. Don't be conspiracy theorists. It's only going to be to stop the virus. They don't want to hurt you. Well, guess what? In the U.S., law enforcement's ability to track and surveil without a warrant is the worst it's ever been. And the FBI has a new pre-crime program, which we've talked about on this show. It's not about keeping you safe. It never was. Here is the Minnesota Public Safety Commissioner John Harrington saying that they've begun contact tracing the arrestees, not for COVID-19, but in regard to what's taking place with George Floyd. They are arresting people, breaking windows or doing whatever they're doing. They're arresting people and then using contact tracing. Or, by the way, I should also point out there are people being arrested for nothing, people being arrested for being present, people being arrested for not doing what they're told from a cop while they're not breaking the law, you know, and so on. So it's happening on all regards. But the point is, anyone that's being arrested is being contact traced to find out who they're associating with, what platforms they're activating or advocating for. Is it organized crime? We're in the process right now of building that information network on you. Right? So understand, there may be people out there breaking windows because they want to rob something. There may be people out there because they want to protest the fact that we're living in a police state. Those people are being lumped together. Why? Because they see it all as one. And that's the point, you understand? Because when they put out fake bricks or real bricks and for artificial reasons, or they use agent provocateurs, or they create situations, they drive the chaos, they justify their actions, right? What they then do is use that to point to and say, that's what's happening. That chaos right there, that's all of it. That's what they're doing. No, that's not what they're doing. There are plenty of people that are just trying to protest this injustice. There are plenty of people that are simply trying to have their voices heard in a situation where that's never the case. Right? So you can understand why people might want to react violently in a situation where the system that's supposed to help them is acting like they don't exist. That applies in all colors and creeds and races and everything, okay? But the point is that it's happening. I will never advocate for violence unless it's a situation where I'm defending myself or someone I care about or in a situation in that variant, right? I've always advocated for the idea that you have the right to use violence in a sense where you're being attacked or you're defending yourself. But I never thought that violence is the answer. Violence begets more violence, period. That's my take. But at the same time, I can rationalize, I can understand why somebody might be driven to it. But that does not mean the people that are abusing the situation to go rob a TV or steal a car are that same person. But these people are framing them as the same. And now they're tracing you, right? They're tracing back to what you do and what you believe in and what you think and what you've said online. And guess what, guys? It's exactly what we told you would happen. Now it's just being used for crime. Now they're contact tracing you and everyone they ever knew and talked to or ever made a phone call to are now being traced as well. Does this sound like a free country? Does this sound like what they pretend we are? No, this sounds like the opposite. And what's even more disgusting is as they pretend that they're fighting this, it's what they're building, as always. You know, as they free and liberate the people around the world, but are actually murdering them with their bombs, it's the same thing. They are the righteous ones actually murdering people around the world. Or they're the righteous ones actually stealing your freedoms while pretending to fight for them. As Spiro said, the U.S. is on the brink of martial law as officials implement contact tracing methods to track rioters. Everywhere. These things are being forced in. Everywhere. All the same things from COVID-19. Do you guys realize that seemingly no one's talking about COVID-19 anymore, which is crazy, and it really speaks to the very obvious social engineering and how quickly people can be emotionally riled up. But all the same things are happening. Does that not trigger alarm bells to anybody? Suddenly, the very next day, we have all the same things that are perfect to fight against the chaos happening in the streets? Oh, weird. The same things for COVID. Oh, what a coincidence. As Caitlin points out, just in case Americans are curious about what the Australian media are saying about this, do you see what this says? The United States of America is unraveling for all the world to see as race riots leave many of the nation's biggest cities burning in almost unimaginable scenes. That might well be directly from the U.S. State Department, which, you know, might as well be Australia, right? I mean, it's the same thing. That's what they want you thinking. This situation to appear as. The United States of America is unraveling because of race riots. Oh, what does that mean then? Well, we need the military to come save it for everybody, right? And that military presence, that martial law that's been building and building and building and working on justifications is never going to go away. And see, again, look, states of anarchy. I mean, do you guys really think these people don't know how to use a dictionary? Do you really think that they just simply don't understand what the word anarchy means? Or are they constantly trying to manipulate what it is because it scares them? I mean, just think about that. I mean, I know it's a point that some people find irrelevant, but guys, there's a reason for it. It is there so you don't realize that we can have a world without oligarchic leaders telling you what you can do with your daily lives. Because it's safe, because it's good for you, right? Keeps you free. Free from their affairs, actually. That's what they want. You guys being dumbed down and drugged up and in the corners while they carry off their agendas. This is how they want you perceiving it. But the reality, guys, it's everywhere. This is just right now. But think about the yellow vests. That's what I want you to think about. The yellow vests went worldwide. They're still there. And they never talked about it. I saw maybe a couple of mainstream stories, and all they were doing was disparaging them or talking about an alternative group that rose up for one moment and went away, right? But then when it happened every other week for hundreds of weeks, nothing. Completely ignored it. There is a massive worldwide movement happening. We are tired of being ruled. We are tired of pretending that we live in democracies and representative governments while we actually live in a bunch of authoritarian countries telling us what to do. And they realized that slow transition over the decades into this, you know, Caitlin Johnstone has done great work on this to show the transition from the era of kings and those kind of rulers into where we are now. And they realized all they had to do was pretend that it was all our choice. Oh, it was all, look, just give them a piece of paper to write on every 4 years, and then we can keep ruling like we always have, right? This is where we are. And this religion of representative government is crazy because people cannot wrap their minds around it. They think that's blasphemy, which speaks to the religious aspect of it. We have been deceived, and the world is seeing it, and they're rising up, and they're fighting, and they're standing for what they believe in, and all they want you to do is fight your neighbor. They want you to fight the person standing next to you to keep them in their high towers. That's what they want. And we need to see it, guys. Oh, and guess what? By the way, just like we said was going to happen, just like James Corbett told you was going to happen, except with a little bit of a tweak, because as I said, their plan wasn't working because people weren't buying it. Well, they've tweaked it a little bit. Guess what? The coming COVID-19 second wave. Oh, guess what? Still coming, by the way. It's now your fault. Why? Well, because of the protesters. See how it shifted? It was going to be because of all the independent media that was lying and spreading fake news, the truth, you know. And then it shifted because nobody was buying it anyway. Everybody was listening to the alt media, which they should be doing. And they just blame it on the protesters. So now when this second wave, which they're planning at some point, is going to come out, they're going to blame it on you, just like was always the plan. And now that we're all protesting and they're going to make it look violent and they're going to create the situation, well, it's going to be your fault, guys. It's all your fault. And then they can turn around and say, well, we warned you. And now we have to stop you because it's the world is at stake. Everyone's lives are at stake. So your protests don't matter anymore. Because you're risking everyone's lives. You see how that works? Even though we've never even gotten to a point to where we can verify what they're saying. And in fact, their data coming from their own sources is now showing that it's not even close to what they said it was. As Vanessa Bealey says, in regard to COVID-19, which is where we're going to get into here. This is to begin before I keep going. We need to see the reality of the situation that we just went over. The reality of what that really is. And that doesn't mean that things aren't real, that it's not all one thing or all another, that it's being used and the situation is happening, that it's being used to stop you from seeing the materializing, long-sought agenda, the technocratic ruling state that is coming out right in front of you. And it's things that we've all been talking about. I mean, it's just so incredibly clear how James Corbett has been piecing this together for decades. Like, it's crazy. And as he just said in a recent show, it's like everything he's been piecing together is coming together right now in this one-stop shop of a plan. Right now. I mean, we just cannot miss how clear that is. And because it wasn't sticking, because of the work of people like James and people out there that are telling you the truth, they had to deviate to something else. They had to shift in. Like, I just saw a funny meme today where they said, oh, well, COVID's not scaring them enough anymore. Switch back to racism, you know? And that's where we're at right now. And no, that doesn't mean racism is not real, guys. And it's for the people that can't, you know, you got to keep... It's funny that people always go, oh, Ryan repeats himself so often. You know, there's a reason for that, guys. I do things very deliberately. There's a reason for that. Because people need things to be repeated. No, maybe you out there listening who love this show and know all the things I'm saying, maybe you don't. But just, you know, deal with it. Because I'm going to keep doing it. Because it's not about telling you what you already know. It's about reaching that person lost to come see what we are talking about. And maybe if it takes a little bit of repetition to make it stick, well, then I'm going to keep doing it. God forbid I annoy a couple of people out there. You know how it is. But going into COVID-19, we need to see that this, in my opinion, is what it's all about. This is what's being covered up. This is what has always been happening. And you'll see that it's the same stuff. It's the same stuff happening now. And a lot of this stuff is really horrifying. Stuff that should, in my opinion, be far more relevant to the direction of this country than what's happening in regard to the chaos in the streets right now. Now, here is what what Vanessa Bealey said. Dissent will be tracked, hunted down, and eliminated. Now, let that resonate with what we just talked about in regard to using contact tracing in regard to everything that's happening today. Dissent, whether that's protests, whether that is in regard to COVID-19, whether that's speaking out against the numbers that we should know. Dissent. Saying stuff against the narrative, speaking out against the mainstream line, will be tracked, hunted down, and eliminated. Your health self-determination will be eradicated. You will obey a global health totalitarian structure that will not tolerate questions or challenges, which is where we are, right? Because you're not even allowed to challenge the World Health Organization claims, even as, oh, guess what? They were just yet again shown to be incorrect. Right. So if I had come out in the beginning and said, hey, guys, I think the death rate is 0.26%, you know, sort of how I believe Stanford did and got shouted down and called crazy. Well, yeah, they turned out to be right. So if we had done that and had our video removed, well, you can see how that works. So even if we were right then, because we were challenging the World Health Organization, who turned out to be wrong, they still would have removed our video. And guess what? Even when World Health Organization turns out to be wrong, they don't then circle back and reinstate your video because it's not about the truth. It's about control. It's about narrative. And so they'll keep it down. Just like my video right now that is still down talking about Dr. Boyle and the idea of possible bioweapons, even as that's the discussion, as that's what they've turned it into. Like, how stupid is that? Just because I was ahead of the mainstream media, they delete my video. You cannot challenge it. Is this the world you want for your children? Do not consent. Check out these articles that she's pointing out, guys. I mean, this is real stuff. National Press Foundation, COVID-19 misinformation, digital tools and journalistic quandaries. Remember Event 201? One of the biggest focuses was shutting down independent media, which we're going to talk about in a minute in regard to Trump's executive order. Tracking the anti-vaccination movement. Tracking. Oh, so suddenly contact tracing is not just for sick people, but for those who don't believe in vaccines, who might keep, you know, you see where it's going, right? So, oh, well, it's the same thing, because though people who don't believe vaccines are going to get more people sick, and we got to try, and then it goes even further, and then people who believe in alternative medicine, well, suddenly they're going to make everyone more sick, and on and on and on and on, until suddenly it becomes anyone who doesn't buy the mainstream narrative. Anybody. And they got to track you, of course, because they need to find out who you talk to, and who's in your social media groups, and who you listen to, and on and on and on, because it's for your safety, guys. It's all freedom. It's about democracy, right? Track you and know everything you do for freedom. Of course, right? We need tyranny for safety, guys. That's what we need. Please. Makes sense, doesn't it? Tyranny for safety? Of course. Now, the reality is, as you should know by now, in the last few days, the CDC has revealed the death rate is actually 0.26%. A UK doctor has said he knows several doctors that have just simply put COVID on everything since March. A leaked German government report has described COVID as, quote, a global false alarm. And Russia's head of COVID response has said it's, quote, just the flu. It's all BS. Now, you can feel free to dismiss. I mean, I shouldn't even say it like that. I'm just so tired of people dismissing a group they don't like because it's a political. Oh, if it's Russia, they must be lying. If it's China, they must be lying. They could be. But it's really dumb of you to just not listen to what they're saying. But if for those that will do that, there's Germany for you, right? A staunch U.S. ally. So you don't just get to dismiss it, because Germany is calling it a global false alarm. That's Germany. The point is, it's out, guys. It's out. We were lied to. It's an illusion. There's a reason that people saying this right now are not being censored, because it's everywhere. You got half the U.S. government's allies saying the same thing. As I pointed out just the other day, this is everywhere. It is a fraction of what they said it was to justify the lockdowns, and yet the lockdowns continue. And yet, even from the top, actions continue, even from the federal government. Because there are agendas everywhere right now in the partisan delusion to make it seem like Trump is somehow completely just immune to responsibility. Somehow the president of this damn country is completely just, I have nothing to do with this. It's all the governors. Oh, it's all China. Oh, it has nothing to do with me. It's just, in what world is the president of the country just completely disconnected from responsibility? A world in which you have a child that doesn't take responsibility for anything. Bush was no different. I mean, it's the same thing. You know, Obama was no different. He was just good at hiding it. The point is, these people are all the same. We just have to see how crazy this stuff is as it continues. The fact that they will continue to lie to you about this and force this stuff in from a top-down aspect. I'm just so tired of people trying to frame this. I mean, look, we just did a huge series. Derek Brose did a great series on Bill Gates. We talked about James Corbett's fantastic doc series on that. It's very clear these people are tied into this. It's very clear people like Fauci and all these people are tied up in all of this. But to pretend that it stops there and somehow omits Donald Trump, the president of the government that is leading the task force. I mean, I don't know how naive you have to be. Obviously involved in everything that's happening. The ties go right back to him. Back to Epstein, back to everybody. But we just omit those because we don't want to believe that he's part of it. They're all part of it. And it's all an illusion. Now, this is something I found to be really interesting. And these, in my opinion, are the things that we should be paying attention to. Cromec extends DARPA deal to develop virus threat system. Now, this is a company that was involved with the 9/11 anthrax discussion. The false flag, remember, right? The lie. The lie where they pretended that there was an anthrax scare, and they claim it all tied back to one person at Fort Detrick, which it did tie back to Fort Detrick, but the person they blamed it on ended up, you know, killing himself, sadly, when it was very clear that he was not involved. It was all a big cover-up. The bottom line is, they covered this up because it came from Fort Detrick, and this was when they were blaming it on Iraq. Just like they're now blaming it on China with no evidence, the same way. They blamed it on Iraq. They forced it in. They used it to justify all kinds of actions against Iraq. And then it turned out to be from Fort Detrick. I wonder if we'll find this out again in the same way a couple years from now, right? Same thing. Amazing how we can't remember our own history. But this company was involved with that. And this is something that's happening right now. This is another, this extending a DARPA contract. Now get this, a technology firm known for helping thwart terror plots. Oh, weird. So yet another group with yet another agenda that has nothing to do with coronavirus. And in fact, it had to do with terrorism or, you know, sort of like every other thing we talk about, the pre-crime or the AI plan or all these different things was all about whatever they could use it for before. Mass shootings, terrorism, whatever. And now it's coronavirus. So yet another thing. It's almost like every single one of their agendas is just pivoting into coronavirus. Weird. Now, how many people out there actually believe that is just turned out to be that those are the best solutions? That it just so happened that everything they were doing for terrorism and for mass shootings, it all turns out to be exactly what we need for coronavirus. I mean, who's stupid enough to believe that? They are using what they wanted to use because it's what their plans were, regardless of coronavirus. So another technology firm known for helping thwart terror plots, right? Meaning terror plots, by the way, that we are should be pretty damn aware of by now are largely manufactured and lies, whether we're talking about the FBI doing them domestically or the U.S. government doing them abroad. They are faking things, false flags, just like the false flag with anthrax. So when they're thwarting terror plots, we should think like that. They've secured a deal worth more than 4 million lira, or excuse me, euro, to further develop a system capable of identifying virus threats. Cromec has been awarded a contract. I used to be lira back before the euro was existing. Sorry, I'm dating myself. But the point is, let's just say 4 million. A lot of money. The Cromec has been awarded a contract extension by the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA. The very group we've talked about that has been using COVID-19 to press in all of its crazy alarming agendas in regard to the technocratic future, in regard to injectable nanoplatforms and injectable gels to be able to sense viruses coming and on and on and on. You know, brain machine interfaces and nanotechnology and all the things that, you know, weirdly enough, Charles Lieber was working on in Harvard before they got, you know, it all weird ties in with all this stuff. DARPA. To extend its focus on mobile bio surveillance apparatus. So picture something that basically can be placed that can detect bio material or something. My mind, I'm thinking, okay, imagine these, you know, right next to every 5G box and every 5 feet down every street. And suddenly, when they want to make you think something's happening, suddenly we've got a bio alarm now. We've got a bio alarm that goes off around every street, and we all know to run inside our homes and let them do their thing, right? That's what this sounds like. That's what this is. Bosses at company based in NetPark say it is miniaturized, that its miniaturized system will detect viruses and bacteria and be placed on vehicles to identify threats. Now, the point is they say vehicles there, and it will be placed on vehicles. That's what this was first about in regard to, I don't even know how that translates into fighting terrorism. I guess it's the same idea. They see, funny how they think about this, right? Now it's about fighting, I guess, you know, think they just omit the idea. This very clearly inherently suggests a bio attack of some kind. Right. So the terror plots before was the same thing, detecting whether there was a use of something. Now it's going to be used domestically. They say that the unmanned kit will have capacity to run all day and be suitable for use in high footfall areas such as hospitals and airports. Now, here's the point that it will. This can be on machines or trucks or anything, but it can also be planted and placed like hospitals and airports where suddenly you're going to have a bio alarm. Now, let's not pretend we can't see where this is going. That we can see how this can and will be abused just like everything else. Remember the big red flashing light they thought was going to calm everybody. Yeah, right. On top of the Empire State Building. That is what things like that were tests for. That's what we're going to be seeing. It's going to be something that's going to be an alarm. And this is what they're talking about using. And this is another deal with DARPA. I find this to be just horrifying kind. This is the new normal, guys. This is what's going to be put all around. And imagine you suddenly have one of those on your bracelet. You suddenly have something like this that needs to be on everybody all the time because bio threats are the new future threat. Bio threats, coronavirus, whatever. ISIS 2.0. That's what this is. Here's another one. U.S. military using new data collection system designed for war in pandemic response. Oh, weird. Another one. A totally another one designed for warfare, but now is going to be used to fight coronavirus because it totally adds up. Pentagon sees the new JADC2 or JADC2 system as vital for beating China, Russia, and military confrontations. The Northern Command is using a new data collection system to track the spread of COVID-19. Or, you know, so it's to track you, guys. Let's not pretend what that means. To track you. It doesn't track virus floating in the air. This device will track you. But it's for COVID. Don't worry. It's only for COVID. Even though the Pentagon's been writing papers for decades about how the new 21st century battle is going to be against the people here, domestically, domestic terrorism. But don't worry. It's only about coronavirus. The Joint All Domain Command and Control, or I'm just going to say JADC2, is a project in its infancy designed to collect information on all aspects of military operations using artificial intelligence. Oh, you don't say. Data to be shared between all branches. Good. So now every branch will simultaneously have all your data that they will glean from whatever they want to take. The idea is to connect every piece of military hardware to the network. You know, using artificial intelligence and your personal data. That sounds lovely. Now, it just says the JADC2 was not designed to help Americans combat the spread of virus in the homeland. The multi-billion dollar project was created to give the U.S. military advantage over potential adversaries. So can you please realize that yet again, this is something designed to be used against enemies that is now being used to track you? How do we not see this, guys? How in the world do we not see what that is? This is exactly like having the bracelets, or at least one of them, one version of them, that were designed for inmates, that were designed for tracking cattle and livestock, that are now being possibly discussed in your, well, one version of them for sure, to be put on your wrist to keep track of you. How do we not see what this is? How do we not see what this is showing you? This was created to give the U.S. advantage over potential adversaries, specifically Russia and China, but now it's being used to track you. Recent Pentagon war games found the U.S. would likely lose a war with China fought in the Pacific. Pentagon officials believe what they call networked warfare might give them an edge they need over China. Good, good, but let's use it right now to fight coronavirus, quote, you know, quote unquote, fight coronavirus. So we've got a group that was involved, in my opinion, with the terror plots of the false flag of anthrax and 9/11 that's now being used to create little alarm boxes or whatever you want on cars or wherever you want to talk about putting them that will be used to detect whatever they want to detect and basically create panic and fear at a drop of a hat. We've got the military using a system designed to fight enemies used to track you to fight coronavirus, right? I mean, all of these things are over the top. And we just talked about this idea in regard to the cryptocurrency to track your body internally and then use cryptocurrency to reward good behavior. Oh, good. You listened to the police officers. Oh, good. You did what you were told. Oh, good. You didn't go within 6 feet. Good. You stayed inside all day. Here's some cryptocurrency. That's what this is. A patent for Microsoft, Office of the United States of America. This is not that long ago. Publication date right here. There it is. March 26, 2020. This is a great article that I referenced the other day. The Elite COVID-19 Coup, Fighting for Our Humanity, Our Liberty, and Our Future. I pointed this out with Derek to make the point that this was a Microsoft patent, which I found interesting, which I had missed the first time I looked over this, for a cryptocurrency system. This is coming from the same, this is tied back to the same groups working on the same projects in regard to nanotechnology. It's all one, guys. One of the things I wanted to read here real quickly was something from Andrew Kaufman. I've had him on the show. Very interesting. Some of his work, as I mentioned the other day, is becoming increasingly relevant in regard to what we might be completely misunderstanding here. But I want to read you what he says. He says, the scientific procedures that have been utilized in all of these scientific studies. Now, first of all, remember, guys, that you can disagree with him. But this man is educated. This man is very intelligent. Okay, you can think he's wrong, but you could even pretend that he's being paid by somebody else. Always possible, but there's no evidence of that. So this is an intelligent person, in fact, an expert in his field, speaking out about what he sees. And in fact, I would say, speaking about the truth that everyone's afraid to talk about. But again, that doesn't mean he could not be wrong in some ways. But listen to this. Open your mind and listen to what he's saying. The scientific procedures that have been utilized in all of these scientific studies, and it is cut and pieced from a lot of different things, but it's accurate to what he says. I've seen it myself. It wouldn't be possible using those technologies to isolate the virus and purify it and prove that it exists, which, by the way, they haven't done. As much as they keep saying that they've isolated this thing, they haven't. And he's shown that definitively. Because they didn't even use the process which they were supposed to use to actually verify it. They just changed the process and made a new process and used that.
In what world does that imply? Where you can just change the rules and apply it to how you want it to. What that appears to be is a way to make it seem like you something that you want it to seem like. You know, a plan, an orchestrated event. He says, taking into account all the evidence I've looked at which, and by the way, he extensively goes over his data, his evidence, his links in this interview. It's linked in this article. The evidence that he has said he's looked at, which has been almost entirely from peer-reviewed scientific papers and original government websites, my opinion is that this entire pandemic is a completely manufactured crisis. In other words, there is no evidence of anyone dying from any novel illness. Now, that is contentious for a lot of people, even those that agree with what I'm saying today. Now, you can disagree with that, but I've made very clear arguments for why that is definitely possible. That you could very clearly use a lot of the previous possible the conditions previously existing and create the illusion that that's what this is. And then even potentially go as far as to trick people in the hospitals. And this is why you have people like Seidel saying, what is this? We're using ventilators. And then you got to think about how nefarious that is, that you're creating this and lying about it and then using and then allowing people to basically use ventilators thinking they're using the right thing and kill these people, which in my opinion is the people who made up the lie are responsible for all that. People like Dr. Seidel, who are trying to speak truth to it and say, look, guys, we're using this and it's not working, are becoming aware of the lie. They're realizing it's not correct. But that doesn't mean we never found out, in my opinion, exactly what that then was, because they just mowed forward and just drove forward and kept telling everyone you were crazy if you said otherwise. But you could argue there's reasons why, you know, they stop reporting on flu and different other things like that. But again, not to dive too deep, I want you to hear what he's saying. And so what I think is going on is in line with what might be known as a globalist agenda. All these things seem to be moving towards control of the people. There is not very much about vaccines that makes a lot of sense, because if you actually go back and look, and this is so incredibly accurate, for the evidence that vaccines have prevented disease, you are not going to find any. Smallpox is an interesting example. In the mainstream history books, the smallpox vaccine has been touted as a major success, but that's not really accurate. And I've said this on my show numerous times. If you go back and look at data from the Royal Academy of Sciences, what you will see is that the mortality increased substantially while these vaccines were widely used. And then when they stopped being used, the numbers went back down again. So it is really difficult to trust what is in a general textbook or mainstream history book without going and looking at the actual data yourself, because all of the textbooks that were in medical schools say that vaccines are responsible for preventing many of these major illnesses that people were suffering from and worried about in the first part of the 20th century. But if you look at some of the same diseases that did not have a vaccine, such as scarlet fever, for example, and this is a huge point that no one brings up, you will find that scarlet fever also went away with all of the other diseases, even though there was no vaccine for it. And when you look at that, and this is just due to just the evolution of man, right? I mean, this is the reality. And when you look at the number of cases of the various illnesses like polio or measles or diphtheria, you'll see that the prevalence or incidence of those diseases and mortality from those diseases, which in some was substantial, went down almost to the current levels before a vaccine was even available. Think about that. So you couldn't possibly attribute a vaccine for causing that reduction in the illness if it wasn't even around at the time that the illness was reduced. This is a very long agenda and illusion. Now, this does not then necessarily need to mean that vaccines aren't possible. That vaccine theory or the logic, the science behind it isn't there. The point is, that could mean that. But what I'm saying is the intent is wrong. The people driving this agenda, the very same people, like with Bill Gates and his father and tying back to eugenics and the Rockefellers. I mean, Derek just pointed out on my show, which I didn't know, that Bill Gates is related to the Rockefellers. He's related to Nathan Rockefeller. I mean, the point is that there's eugenics to these people in these elite circles have always practiced eugenics. And this is about population control. So if we're creating some kind of long thought, very clear agenda that started from the very beginning, it wouldn't surprise me at all. What he's saying here is that the vaccines, or rather that the disease we're pointing to, went back down to current levels, right? The levels they point to now and say, see, there's only at that level because of vaccines. It went down to that level before the vaccine was even created. And we saw a spike in cases and then went right back down. And that's because it worked. No, it's because it got worse for a minute because of the vaccine. And that's in these cases. If you create a vaccine for an illness, he says, such as COVID-19, that has not been proven to even exist, then the vaccine couldn't possibly work. But if you do a clinical study and have an imaginary disease and give the vaccine to people and then they never get the imaginary disease, it would give the appearance that it was very successful. What do you know? So this is a real win-win strategy for anyone making these vaccines. Interesting. And all the people that are financially tied to it, like the Faucis, like the Bill Gates, like the Salawi person who was appointed as the vaccine czar by Donald Trump, right? Tied directly to GlaxoSmithKline and Moderna, right? Who sold stocks right when they made that announcement and they made a bunch of money, you know? Yeah, there's no ties to Donald Trump at all. He's not tied in with any of this. And which is why there have been companies all over the world racing to be the first to have the vaccine that's been proven to be safe or effective using the limited criteria they require, right? See, the point is these people may not even realize that they don't even know what they're doing. They're given a material and they're supposed to make a vaccine that works within the requirements they were given with the limited criteria. So they work to do it because it's profitable. They're taking at face value the thing they're trying to achieve has anything to do with the idea of some COVID-19 virus. Because whoever gets there first, according to the plans or proposed policies, they're going to be selling billions of vaccines. Billions. It's a lot of money. I mean, we just have to let this stuff sink in. And the problem is there's people out there that are so quick to be angry, malicious, the moment that somebody calls into question their religion of vaccines. Well, then it's just over the top. And they just start attacking you. And the point is they don't take a moment to actually consider the logic or the data that you're presenting. They've already been warned by their mommy daddy government that there's going to be people that will try to trick you. They'll try to lie using fake news. Don't even look at it, because that's what intelligent people do. When in fact, that's what the dumbest of the dumb do. They ignore information because they were told to. Those are sheep. And that's what systems like this are designed for. To corral the sheep. Oh, of course, don't worry, though, because you can go and meet your new virtual police officer who will guide you through these processes, right? That's what your future will look like, guys. Just like we were warning. But, right, it's all for coronavirus. Don't worry. Not like this was planned out and organized way before we got here. Meet your New Zealand unveils its first artificial intelligence officer. NSA's social network mapping is more vast, omnipresent, and horrifying than Snowden revealed, according to The Mind Unleashed. And this is absolutely unreal. Now, this is talking about some of the stuff that basically the idea that we remember that the leaks that came out in regard to Edward Snowden, WikiLeaks, that showed us the reality. The very thing that they pretended was never happening. Oh, you guys are conspiracy theorists. Oh, okay, well, now you're telling the truth. But it was for your freedom. Don't worry, right? You're always crazy right up until you find out that it was all for your freedom, right? That's usually how it goes. But this is way worse when you find out what it really is. He says, so basically this was a journalist, Barton Gellman, who really dove into this stuff. And he says what he found shocked him and represents an ongoing existential threat to American citizens, he says. Now, he says that originally he wanted to understand more about the logistics of the NSA phone records. But what he found was way more than he expected. Now, the main thoroughfare of data collection, Stellar Wind, was a domestic surveillance program, it says, launched by, guess who? Vice President Dick Cheney. Only weeks after 9/11. Weird how 9/11 and what's going on now continually seem to tie together. Talking about people like Jerome Hauer and Robert Kadlec and all the same people that were all tied up with the anthrax lie and the false flag and 9/11 and all of it. Seemingly all tied right back to what's going on today. Just coincidence, I'm sure. Only weeks after 9/11. He mandated that all operatives and subordinates conceal the program from FISA court judges and Congress, because that's totally legal. You know, that's what honest people do, stamping it with the most covert government classification, right? That's what they always do. National security, even when it's not, because that's how they control you from seeing things. Stellar Wind facilitated Mainway, the NSA's prized social network mapping tool. Does that sound like something we're dealing with now? It should, because that's what they're using. Oh, it's contact tracing, though. Don't worry. It's only for coronavirus. Up until it becomes everything else. With conscripted telephone data companies like AT&T and Verizon into secretive and financially lucrative data collection contracts negotiated by special source operations. Lovely. All for your freedom, don't worry. All the things they swore up and down they would never do. But even this was just the tip of the iceberg. Gosh, I can't highlight today. The Maine Way program codified into law. Two important, but now, until now, obfuscated surveillance and data mining objectives. Contact chaining. That sound familiar? And pre-computation. That needs to ring true with people today. This was something designed right after 9/11 that is now being used with a slight variation in the name to, you know, quote unquote, fight coronavirus. Oh, of course, and violent protesters too, right? Because that's, you know, it'll be whatever they want to use it for. Contact chaining. It's just, they really think you're too stupid to realize this stuff, guys. While the NSA long maintained that their surveillance programs merely stored untraced metadata, of course, and we swear up and down, right? Just like clappers, oh, we never did it intentionally, right? Liars. They're all liars. That could help investigate the activities of known terrorist operatives. We now know that the agency was actively leveraging and exploiting the data to build an almost mind-bogglingly complex next-generation social graph. As described by Gelman, this tool combined the concepts of six degrees of separation, or 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, for those that talk about it the same way, and a COVID-19 model of contact tracing. Termed contact chaining, and first deployed during the manhunt and investigation of Boston Bomber, the new suite of software tools used by NSA's intercepted communications, read our personal information, including voice, video, email, chat text, attachments, pager messages, etc. So everything you've ever said, thought about, considered, spoken, emailed, it's all there. It's all there. To build a cutting-edge form of data analysis that can algorithmically parse data records to illustrate indirect relationships between any and all intelligence assets. You. Yeah, you. Everybody. Right? That's how this works. And there's not some concern about overlap here. Contact tracing will go to the extent. They'll find everybody connected, even if you have nothing to do with what's going on, because then you're possibly a threat just because he has you in your phone. Or he has you in his phone. Now, according to Gelman, Maineway turned into the queen of metadata, foreign and domestic, designed to find patterns that content did not reveal. So basically finding things that weren't there. You know, things that they might happen. You know, pre-crime ideas. To create a global graph. An integrated graphical map representing the movements and communications of virtually everyone on Earth. But don't worry, it's for coronavirus, guys. It's all for your safety. This is named the Big Awesome Graph, or guess what? The Bag. Don't you love that? The Bag. You know what that's also a term for, to like bag and tag somebody? Don't you love the overlap between their authoritarian control mechanisms, right? It's like they're going to use the bag to bag and tag you, you know, and then put you in jail. Just because they think you might be dangerous one day, you know. This tool was the principal data harvesting tool in the umbrella directive of large access exploitation. It mapped the call records and nodes and edges on a grid so large and human mind unaided could not encompass it. So they need artificial intelligence, of course. Now, the NSA's Maineway program sought to use its newly and somewhat hastily assembled software to continuously create contact chain profiles on all global citizens. All global citizens. This is the mindset of the people that are currently doing what they're doing in the streets today. This is the mindset of the people that are currently trying to tell you and placate you with the ideas and the illusions of freedom as they constantly gather everything you've ever done in your life. The FBI commandeered over 1 billion new records each day from the telephone companies, and the NSA ingested that info to, quote, get a head start on everyone. You think maybe they're using this to compile data on those like myself that are daring to challenge the narrative? Gee, of course not, because that would be unconstitutional, right? Termed pre-computation, the idea was and is to create a constant, complex, 724, I think that's 24/7, live, ever-updating social graph. Constant of everyone, everywhere. And just imagine what that will be like when they then have, you know, contact tracing bracelets and apps that everyone happily downloads to fight coronavirus, of course. And then you're happily feeding right into their totalitarian technocratic control network. Here, give it to you. And then, of course, it's one step away from saying, well, now we just need to put it inside your wrist so it's easier for you. It's for your safety. And now every baby that's born will have one in their vaccine and on, and then suddenly it's a constant, never, this is a Orwellian control network that is constant, real time, always. And by the way, they're working right now on being able to, you know, read your thoughts, read brainwaves. That's been happening for a decade, as far as I can tell. So let's not pretend like that won't then be able to basically read your emotions and read how you're acting. They can do that right now with your body bio data, your biometrics. They write all kinds of secrets, social, medical, political, professional, were pre-computated 24/7, a database that was pre-configured to map anyone's life at a touch of a button. Guys, this should really be horrifying to you right now. He maintains that only 22 top officials had the authority to order a so-called contact chain. However, the dangers of such a power abound. In this post-9/11 stint to dominate the global communications infrastructure, the NSA opened a veritable Pandora's box, whereby, quote, governments at all levels may use the power of the state most heavy-handedly, sometimes illegally, to monitor communities disadvantaged by poverty, race, religion, ethnicity, and immigration status. I mean, we need to see what this is building towards. I mean, there's probably out there others like myself that have watched things like Westworld, that have watched these dystopian predictive programming net control. I mean, even things, I just watched the show just came out on Netflix called Space Force with, it's meant to be a comedy, but it is overwhelmed with clear propagandized material meant to, they mentioned vaccines and why it was so important that we fought. I mean, it's all in there. It's all about acquiescing to the reality that we need boots on the moon in 2024. Well, with a little bit of comedy mixed in there, you know, exactly what we told you was always going to happen, even though there's treaties and things that make it not okay. And they're going to end up pointing to Russia and China and saying they're going to do it. So we need to do it first. And just like they always do. The point is, things like Westworld, where they have a very clear predictive programming nature of having this, as I argue, is probably right now happening, an artificial intelligence driven network that basically does this, that catalogs all of your information in real time and actively follows and tracks everything. Everything. And it's only a far cry if we're not already there to use that to try to influence the direction of our society in ways that actually turn into creating it, which means you no longer have a choice, which means suddenly your choices become a problem for something that's trying to create what they want to be the reality. Free will, you know, democracy, the things they pretend we have are in fact the last things they want to give you because it allows them to not be able to just simply choose what they want to be the future. Which is why we're seeing things like this come around. Which is why we're beginning to see the setup for exactly what we said was going to happen. As I said, so the idea of overt government control over social media and online platforms, exactly what we said was coming, is being floated right now, but under the guise of actually fighting censorship. Let that sink in. And of course, using the two-party deception to do it. So all of those people lost in it are unable to see what's really happening. Right? As one side says, yay, Trump, fight those evil censors and get the back the, you know, even though he's on one side of this two-party illusion, right? He's fighting from the Republican side. So why would we allow one side of the, so you're going to say that we're going to believe that they're going to allow, I mean, look at what they actually say. This is what he's actually saying in his tweets. Republicans feel that social media platforms totally silence conservative voices. Okay, first of all, that's a perception. The reality is it happens all across the board. The real censorship is happening in regard to people like me, people that are not partisan, people that are really showing you that the partisanship is what's lying to you, right? That's the truth. But of course, we're seeing Republicans and Democrats. And yes, there are on some platforms more Republicans than Democrats. It's a 50-50 shot, guys. There's always going to be more on one side or the other. I mean, you could even argue that on Twitter, it's only Republicans. It doesn't change the fact that they're already involved. The government, Donald Trump's administration, is already aggressively involved with Twitter and Facebook and Google and YouTube and all of them. That happened long before Donald Trump. So then to pretend that we need more government influence to stop that is crazy. What we need is less government influence. We need them to pull out of this thing and allow Twitter to collapse because it's a broken system. Because it is censoring people based on opinions, right? We need a situation where new platforms can arise that actually are going to have freedom to grow organically because they don't censor people, because they allow free thought. If that was really allowed to happen, this would change very quickly. But they haven't, because they want these to be monopolies. That's why they want to regulate them and make them forever. And that's what this is. That's Trump using the two-party system, whether he realizes it or not, to force in exactly what we always said was coming. Just like James Corbett and I talked about in our interview. The social media regulation PSYOP. Problem, reaction, solution. Look, he's not standing up and saying, they're censoring, we need to stop the censorship. He's saying, from a partisan standpoint, Republicans are being censored, and we can't allow that. So how do we not pretend that's not going to come around the other side? And I'm not arguing from a left-hand standpoint. I'm arguing from a two-party deception standpoint. That these people are using this to make you think that you have to pick a side. That's the illusion. He says, we will strongly regulate or close them down. As everyone out there says, he'll never do that. He believes in free speech, but let's just not take him at his word, which is really stupid. I mean, at what point are we supposed to pretend that we're supposed to just assume that he means something different, right? I mean, that's irrational. That's schizophrenic. He's saying something. I'm going to take him at his word. We will strongly regulate or close them down before we can ever allow this to happen. So basically what he's saying is, if Republicans are being censored on these platforms, we're not going to allow it to happen. And we're going to close them down. Right? So are we going to pretend that he would act the same way if it was predominantly Democrats? Have you ever seen him tweet about that? And it is happening, guys. For all those that think it's not, and that's why he hasn't tweeted about it, that you're lying to yourself. It is happening. He says, we saw what they attempted to do and failed in 2016. We can't let more sophisticated version of that. That's weird. I guess he deleted his second tweet. Well, that's not surprising at all. That's happened a lot lately. You realize that? His tweets are suddenly it could be Twitter for all I know. But here's another one. Same thing. Regulate Twitter if they're going to start regulating free speech. Which, by the way, that is so incredibly counterintuitive. Twitter, if actually left to its own devices as a private company and not the government-controlled entity that it is today, if that was actually the case and you allowed other platforms to rise, they would lose. People do not want to be censored. You can, allow it to be what it is and allow other companies to rise up and eclipse them. To regulate them further is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. And that is blatant manufacturing consent. I mean, this is clearly being used to drive you into going, yay, regulate the thing that gives a... I mean, it's just absolutely counterintuitive. This is the government that has created the problem that left us where we are. Then we're going to ask them to step in to fix the problem that they created? I mean, guys, that is schizophrenic. It's just crazy. He says, well, as they just have proven conclusively, that's what they're doing. Repeal Section 230. Again, do you realize that repealing Section 230 is exactly what the ADL has been screaming for a long time? Do you realize why they want this? Do you realize why what this executive order is doing is in fact making it harder and worse for censorship? So you may not have heard this because if you're not listening to anybody outside of the mainstream media. The reason the ADL specifically has been trying to repeal this is because they want these people to be held accountable so that they're more heavy-handed with censorship, right? So, and this is exactly what this gets into. You can actually see in these things where it talks about using this in regard to, basically, if you're going to apply this, Twitter will then be more afraid because they're liable for your tweets, right? So then what's going to happen is they will censor anything. And they'll be justified because they're going to say, hey, well, even if it was over the top and that's not what he meant, we censored it because we're liable now. So now they have the choice, right? Right now, they shouldn't be doing it. So all they need to do is enforce what's already there. So not regulate something else. Just remove the government influence. If you remove Section 230, you will see censorship and suppression go through the roof, which, by the way, is the plan, guys. Whether Trump knows it or not, he's involved in it. I happen to think he knows what's going on. Now, one thing I don't want to forget about pointing out, this is one of the main things I think is important to see in this, in his executive order, which, by the way, is supposed to only apply to the executive branch. But we live in an authoritarian dictatorship, apparently, where one man can write a piece of paper down and apparently dictate what the world does or the country. Executive orders were never meant to be mandates for the country. Executive orders were meant to influence the executive branch, hence the name. Obama was just as bad. Trump made it far worse, right? Remember when Trump was constantly berating Obama about using ruling by executive order? Well, turns out he did exactly the same thing, just like he did every other. How dare he golf during a problem and then Trump goes and golfs during a problem? I mean, it's just so stupid. These people are hypocrites. But nonetheless, he's ruling by executive order just like anybody else. Why? Oh, well, because the Democrats won't let him do anything. Well, that's by design, guys. So you point to the Democrats instead of realizing that the system is broken from all sides. But check out what this says. Differential policies. Well, it starts from here. Complaints described in a section will, in this order, shall be shared with the working group consistent with applicable law. The working group shall also collect publicly available information regarding the following. And this is in regard to, and this is the idea of this, is to stop them or enforce these things. Differential policies allowing for otherwise impermissible behavior when committed by accounts, and they literally say associated with the Communist Chinese Party or other anti-democratic association. This is what I keep pointing out to you guys in regard to Israel and everybody else. All you had to say there was committed by accounts. I mean, I don't even know why you need to add anti-democratic associations or governments. I mean, that is meant to attack people like me, pretending that I'm somehow anti-democratic, when in reality, to pretend that they're democratic is an illusion. I'm anti-authoritarian government. But then on top of that, all you had to say was with anti-democratic associations or governments. But no, they had to say with specifically China. And then whatever else they want to include. Sort of how when they say that this law applies to Israel and other allies, there's no reason to say Israel and other allies. You just got to say allies. There's a reason they put in that name. This is going to be used to go after the fact that they're, I mean, look, if the things they're trying to say is that the Chinese Communist Party is using Twitter and putting out misinformation and lies and Twitter's allowing it, or, you know, breaking the rules and Twitter's allowing it, which they probably are. But so is Trump. So is most of Congress. So is our political party. So are everybody in mainstream media. They're constantly putting out things that are false and and lies and propaganda, and yet nothing happens. This is going to be used against foreign countries. This is going to be used to suppress and censor information coming out of places like Iran and Venezuela and Bolivia, and things that they don't want you hearing from people they're trying to suppress, while they literally suppress and shoot and attack and arrest governments or journalists right now in this country. So that's the one thing that really stood out to me. But just off the bat, guys, I mean, recognize how offensive this is. Free speech is the bedrock of American democracy. Oh, really? So that's why you're allowing BDS to be attacked, or saying that we can't protest or boycott things we believe in, or that, you know, my videos will be censored on platforms, or that my, you know, over and over and over. Well, you'll shut down outlets from other countries that you don't agree with. Yeah, but let's pretend that other than all those obvious examples of countering free speech, that free speech is the bedrock of American democracy, even though we don't live in a democracy. I mean, the first sentence should make you go, this is a big disgusting joke. These people do not believe in free speech. People like Pompeo do not believe in this stuff. They are attacking it every chance they get while pretending to be champions of the very same things, which makes them, in my opinion, some of the most despicable people alive. Our founding fathers protected this sacred right when the founding fathers who wrote the Constitution on which they're standing right now, right? They'll point to the founding fathers as if it means everything to them, while they then turn right around and directly counter the Constitution with contact tracing and shooting people in their homes and unjustified police presence. I mean, it's over the top. Everything about what these people are doing right now is counter to what we believe we are, and yet they have the gall to come out with things like this and pretend that they stand for all these tenets of American society. The freedom to express and debate ideas is the foundation for all our rights as a free people. Oh, accept any ideas that challenge the World Health Organization, or any ideas that discuss ideas that they don't think are real, or any ideas that discuss conspiracy theories, or any ideas that challenge major events in our history, or on and on and on, right? But yet, aside from all of those examples, freedom to express and debate ideas is the foundation. I mean, guys, it's just so offensive to your intelligence. To have a person like this write something out like this as they're literally doing the opposite is the most disgusting thing I can think about. This is all an illusion. And they're using this to create a situation where more censorship will be ready, or what will happen, where more censorship will be coming over the top in every possible way, because these people will then be accountable. What we need is actual private companies with no government influence, no Atlantic Council deciding on fake news, none of these things. We need completely free and independent from government oversight and that, or government control. But that won't happen, guys, because what they need is to control the situation. That's what this is all about. None of this has to do with your safety or your freedom or your democracy, your constitutional rights. It all has to do with controlling your perception of those things and your direction as a person, because they need that. They need these things because the world can see right now that this is dissolving around them. And unless they can put it back in place, they don't have the illusion. They need to pretend like we're the leading democratic country of the world. But again, as the point that I made clear in this, in regard to, I have it not highlighted now, you know, in regard to the aspect of China, I believe it was right here. Here, just like I said, here's what Ted Cruz is saying. Accusing Twitter of violating sanctions against Iran, right? So illegal sanctions that they don't have the authority to hand out, unilateral, right? No one country is allowed to hand out sanctions. That is a international body mandate. That is what international bodies do, not individual countries. For people have lost sight of this because the U.S. just started doing it. And now, I mean, we've seen China do it, we've seen Russia do it to some very small degree, but we've seen the U.S. do it over and over and over, and the world is too afraid to do anything about it. But nonetheless, despite the fact that they don't have authority and it's completely unjustified, and that they're basing it on things they've never verified or proven, and that they just basically allowed Venezuela to go through anyway, fecklessly allowing it and pretending like it's now a distraction. Oh, those Iranian boats, those are all distractions. Why are you focusing on that? We're focusing on it because you guys pretended like it was the biggest thing in the world and that you were going to take military action until they called your bluff and brought those Iranian ships to Venezuela and gave them what they needed so they weren't starving and freezing to death. But of course, now it's all a distraction because your bluff was called. Right? But okay, sanctions against Iran. Here's what he says. Now, or not he says, but the article. Now, as the GOP cranks up the pressure on Trump's least favorite social media company, Senator Ted Cruz is calling for a full-on investigation of how the company treats foreign leaders who use the platform. Right? The what they want is to have American leaders completely unfettered and have foreign leaders completely controlled. That's what they want. Even though Twitter, being based in this country, is an international platform today. It's used all around the world, right? So the illusion is that there's not some kind of government that controls it, but we know that's the case. So that's why we're seeing this happen. It says, to be sure, this isn't exactly coming out of nowhere. Cruz led an earlier pressure campaign to convince Twitter to boot senior Iranian officials off the platform, even insinuating that not doing so would violate international sanctions. So by not censoring people, you're violating sanctions. Right? But at the same time, they pretend that, okay, we're all about, expressing the debating ideas and free speech is the bedrock of American society. Okay, but then we turn right around and scream about, you need to censor people we don't agree with. These people are parodies of themselves. I mean, these are cartoons. As they literally do stuff just like this. I mean, realize how insulting it is to, again, pretend that they're trying to fight online censorship, and then they turn around and from Google Drive level, remove a personal copy of the movie Plandemic. Do you realize what level we're at right now? That this is not from a website. This is from a Google Drive. They went into a specific personal database and removed a copy that wasn't public on somebody's Google Drive. Guys, they are terrified of the information. And I'll tell you right now, there's things within that Plandemic movie that I don't agree with. Despite the fact that it almost completely vindicates everything that I've been saying. There are just certain nuanced parts of it that I think, I shouldn't say I don't agree with, parts that I'm just still skeptical about. But at the end of the day, this is crazy. That they are removing data in real time and telling you that they're fighting for censorship or against censorship. Do not drink the Kool-Aid, people. It's an illusion. And this, I'll include this in the show notes when I'm done. I really hope you'll go back and watch this. I reposted it recently, but it's actually from August 26th, 2018. But I just realized how incredibly relevant it suddenly was. Even discussing the idea of China in regard to censorship and how it applies here. And the whole discussion was about the social media regulation PSYOP, that's what they want to happen. James Corbett makes the very excellent point of John D. Rockefeller and the breaking up of the big oil, the oil conglomerates they had back then. And they made it out to be some kind of a success that we have to break up this big oil monopoly. And they acted like, oh, no, we don't want to do that. That's so bad. And then it made them the most, it literally overnight turned John D. Rockefeller into the richest person alive. That's a fact. And it gave them the power to then influence every other aspect of society. So it was something they wanted, but they sold it as the as a loss to collective society. The people fought back against the power of the Rockefellers. They created the illusion. It's problem, reaction, solution, right? The problem was, well, we can't allow the Rockefellers to be so powerful, which was probably something that was just materializing on its own. They recognized it, right? So they created something, a solution to the problem. Then they coaxed a reaction from everybody and swung in with the solution they already had prepared and said, oh, no, we don't want this, and pretended like it wasn't what they wanted when they got exactly what they wanted. It's all about the manipulation, guys. Which, again, is why this kind of discussion is so incredibly important. It's all the psychological operation. And this is what's happening even in France. France. On May 13th, the French Parliament adopted a law that requires online platforms such as Facebook, Google, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and Snapchat to remove reported, quote, hateful content, which is so incredibly objective, or subjective, within 24 hours to, quote, and, quote, terrorist content. Which, what does that even mean, within 1 hour? Now, I know what the definition of terrorism is, right? Using violence to achieve political ends. That is the official and original definition of terrorism, despite what the politicization has done to it today. But to just say to remove terrorist content, does that not apply to people that they say are domestic terrorists? People that may say that they don't agree with what's happening? Or, you know, I mean, that they've accused people like me of being a terrorist. This is going to apply to anything they want it to apply to. Hateful or terrorist content within 24 hours. Failure to do so could result in exorbitant fines of up to €1.25 million or 4% of the platform's global revenue in cases of repeated failure to remove the content. This is exactly like what Trump is doing. Let's not pretend it's not completely orchestrated. Okay? This is doing is putting the onus on, basically, these platforms are now responsible. So what they're going to do is censor more because they don't want to lose 4% of their global revenue. That's a lot of money. The point is they're going to censor because they're going to say, well, they're going to sue us. They're going to threaten us. They're going to attack us. So it gives them the justification to censor even when it's not justified, which is already happening, but at least we call it out. Well, now they're going to say, whoops, sorry, that's the new law. That's now. This is a great video by the Duran. Hope you guys can check them out as well. But this is everywhere, guys. Everywhere. They're trying to control you. And I just wish people could wake up to see it. And to finish off with some financial discussion before we do a couple foreign policy things, I just want you guys to realize that even as this is happening, remember all the money that we just lost. Remember the trillions of dollars. 2.2 from the government, 4 from the Fed, 4 another 3 they're trying. This is trillions of dollars, as well as other, I think, $600 billion influxes from Trump and different things that have been happening. They're giving this money. This is the largest transfer of wealth in American history. That comes from your pocket. That's American tax dollars that were just given to the 1%. The 1% made more wealth in the last month than they have over a very long period of time. They became dramatically more wealthy when they stole that from you. Do you think that's a coincidence? I hope you're not willing to stand back and go, oh, I guess it's just coincidence that 36 million people are unemployed and all these businesses are shut down and the 1% just got dramatically more wealthy. Just a coincidence, I'm sure. But the point is that all that money, that Trump continued to gush about Boeing and why we need to save Boeing, even though they just had another crash. Guess what? They're giving money to Boeing from you, and they're still laying off people. Boeing is laying off close to 7,000 employees this week. Hurts demand. Yeah, that's why we just gave you millions of dollars to keep it going. But nope, they're going to make sure that their company is good and that their executives are good, not the employees that was meant to support. This was not meant to make sure the company succeeds. It was meant to make sure the economy succeeds. At least that was the illusion. But the reality was it was about giving money to big companies and kicking back to people in your circles, like Boeing, like massive companies that are involved in munitions and military, in regard to the military industrial complex. So here's millions of dollars, and they're going to lay people off anyway. Amtrak seeks $1 billion bailout right? We just bailed out the banks with your money. Just like 2008. But it all got covered up by coronavirus. It happened again. Now they're preparing to slash 20% of the workforce and seeking more money from the government. Moderna itself, their shares have tumbled as the insiders are running for the exits after they tricked everybody. They fooled everyone to invest all this money and Salawi sold $12 million in stocks and made a bunch of money and then it dropped and everyone's running for the hills. Why? Because it's an illusion. Because they're stealing from you, guys. And if you can't see what's happening by now, well, hell, I'm going to keep trying to wake you up. That's what I do. But damn it, guys. I just don't know what more you need to see. It's all happening right in front of you. And for those that are going to scream at me for being, I'm a racist or whatever you want to say, I didn't miss in the big picture. That's fine when we wake up for a year from now and we're all wearing contact tracing bracelets and injectable gels and it's all because of the virus and everything else. And you'll realize where we are and what you should have been doing. Instead of fighting your neighbor, you need to fight the people that are putting that on you. The people that are at the, you don't need to fight the person that's in that suit. You need to fight the person that's giving them the orders. You need to fight the reality of the situation and where it's coming from. Fight the power structure, guys. Because even that police officer, damn it, is just somebody. It's just a guy. Half the time, they don't even realize that they're doing the wrong thing. I know the guy with the knee on the neck, that guy is in prison and needs to be. That guy is an inhuman POS. But some of them, I would argue none of them were involved in that situation. Some of the people out there, like the guy in the pictures that I have on my show today, like the people out there that are actually standing with the protesters, some of them see what's going on. And as I've always said, one of the key moments in any actual change is when the enforcement arm wakes up. When they realize that they're just part of, that they're being used. They're not part of the elites. They're not 1%. They're on our side. They're being used by them to keep us at a distance. And when they realize that, things change dramatically. So what we need to do is realize that and fight with each other for the same things because we are on the same side. And it's just time for us to realize that. Now, to end today with some foreign policy notes, as Ben Swan points out, because we're all so concerned about everything and it's all coronavirus and we're, nothing else matters, right? Except foreign arms sales. Foreign arms sales quietly added to the list of essential work, because it's so important to make sure we continue to sell weapons to the worst of the worst around the world, totally normal. You realize why that's essential? Like I keep telling you, because this country runs in the blood of other nations. If sales to foreign countries of weapons stop, this country collapses. And that's not by choice of Americans. That's by choice of the profiteers who run this country. But they've gotten us there, and now we're in that position. So we need to fight to change it. But they need to. But they don't want you knowing that. They don't want you knowing that in the midst of all this, they're still selling weapons to countries that are murdering people, countries that are committing mass genocide, countries that are committing religious acts. I mean, there's all kinds of ethnic cleansing happening everywhere. They're still selling weapons to Saudi Arabia and Israel and everybody else. Doesn't matter. It's all for freedom, right? Well, that's continuing. And that's essential, right? So guess what? Your church going is not essential, but selling weapons to Israel, totally essential. Let that sink in, guys, because we know what's important for Americans, right? Selling weapons to Israel is so important to American people, right? But going to church and opening your business, that's not important. That's not essential. The EU of all groups. Now understand, the EU is not the same thing as individual countries, right? The EU, I'm not going to get bogged down in that conversation, but it is a mire, trust me. But the European Union is a bunch of bureaucrats, okay? They're, I argue, completely controlled and influenced by the larger powers of the West. But harsh sanctions on Syria, extend them during whatever's going on. Guess what they cited for it? Chemical weapons use, among other things. But that's specifically what they listed. So don't misunderstand. No, not some new event. No. The EU suddenly decided to wake up today and go, hey, because of those things that we've all talked about ad nauseum that most of them have been debunked, we're going to circle back and just extend sanctions now in the middle of a pandemic and while they're burning their wheat fields and while they're occupying their oil. It's almost like they're trying to push them into desperation. Weird. It's like exactly what we've always been saying. Right. But don't worry. It's about that old thing that we haven't talked about in a long time. But now we're going to just suddenly make new things about it. Do you realize how crazy that is? Because sanctions are not meant to be like that. Even under their own definition, it's not meant to just be impunity. It's not meant to be punitive. You're not meant to, this is not meant to just hurt people because they did things you don't like. It's meant to drive an action. So if these things have been there forever, even though we know they're not actually true, but they've been there and they're just continuing to do it and they wake up today and say more sanctions, that is inherently counter to what they are. Not to mention that they're unilateral, that they're illegal. I mean, it's just unreal. Burning their wheat fields. Trump orders their wheat fields to be burned. Trump occupies their oil fields. People are starving. People can't heat themselves during winter. And now they're continuing to put more sanctions. They're continuing the blockade. They're continuing to bomb and attack and hurt them. Imagine what's going on for these people. And yet, but don't worry, we're there to free you. We're there to save you. Do we think any of this is hurting or helping the people of Syria? Is anybody that delusional to think that all of this, burning wheat fields, occupying oil fields, stealing from them, bombing their cities, attacking them, I mean, any number of things, and including more sanctions, blockades. Do you think this is hurting the government? This is designed to hurt the Syrian people, but yet they simultaneously pretend that they're saving those people. What kind of sociopath does that take? But I'm the crazy conspiracy theorist, right? I'm the terrorist because I dare to tell you what's really going on. But guess what, guys? Plenty of countries within that EU, not the individual countries, that are not the bureaucratic control system, but the countries themselves, are now saying that they do not agree. This is in regard to the latest actions against Iran, but they're speaking out. They do not. They regret the actions of the US government. Britain, France, and Germany strongly condemned a U.S. decision to end sanctions waivers. Now, the point is, this is the waivers that were allowed to countries like the people in the EU and elsewhere in the world, allowing them to continue to sell and conduct business with them, right? So in the middle of this situation, they're now pulling that and stopping them even more and saying, you can't have anything, right? Because that's going to help the Iranian people survive, right? Of course, right? No, it's going to drive them to desperation, so they turn on their government, which is the point. Which is exactly why seemingly everybody now is calling out what the U.S. government is. This situation is increasingly revealing what this government is. A rogue entity that does not care about the things that their people believe in. They care about themselves. And as I said to end the show today, this seemingly doesn't matter to the collective world media. Right? We don't care that children are being shot dead in the streets in Palestine or in, you know, occupied Palestine, or that they're continuing right this moment to do the very thing that Trump promised wouldn't happen, even though we knew that wasn't going to happen because Netanyahu the next day said it was going to happen. Israeli forces storm neighborhoods, demolish Palestinian homes. That is the 31st, guys. Right now, in the middle of this situation, they're still destroying homes. What do you think happens to those Palestinians? Do you think that, I mean, this is unjustified. This is illegal annexation, illegal demolition, illegal. They are displacing people. There's no way you can be okay with this. To simply, blithely stand back and say, oh, well, they're all terrorists and just be content with that. It makes you a disgusting human being. Because that is mindless propaganda that is so incredibly disconnected from the truth. I've shown you videos of screaming women holding their children being thrown to the ground by police officers in Israel because they wanted to grab belongings from their home before it was destroyed. We need to wake up. These people are beyond governments, are beyond nations, and they extend around the world. And people, the human race, needs to realize that these governments are destroying us. They are literally dismantling everything that we hold dear and telling us that it's our fault. It's our fault for not listening. It's your fault for not abiding by the law. It's your fault for not doing what you're told. We have a right to stand up for what we believe in. We have a right to hold these things dear and to challenge what they're saying. Now, I never advocate for violence. I never do. But I've always said that if your life is being threatened, if you're in a position where these things are happening unjustified, then you have a right to stand up for yourself. I would. And I hope you all will. And if we come to a time where our way of life is being threatened, then we need to stand up. Now, I called for all of you out there to continue to do so, to continue to speak your mind, to continue to have the courage to wake others up to the reality. But do not intrinsically jump right into some violent actions, because that is exactly what they want. We need to go out there and show them who we really are and help each other. Be the people that they don't want you to be. That's what we're really fighting for, people. We're fighting to preserve and save what they want to take away from us. So playing their game and being that person only helps to remove that. Don't play their game. I love you guys. Thank you for being here. Thank you for thinking for yourselves. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
I want to make the case for secrecy in government when it comes to the conduct of national security affairs, and possibly for deception.
You would lie in order to preserve the truth.
If I had to say something I knew was false to protect American national security, I would do it.
But you took an oath to uphold the Constitution, and the Constitution mandates certain openness and certain fairness. You're willing to do away with that in order to achieve a temporary military goal?
The Constitution's not a suicide pact.
But you took an oath to it.
I don't make any apology for it.
When I was a cadet, what's the cadet motto at West Point? You will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do. I was a CIA director. We lied, we cheated, we stole. It was like we had entire training courses.